Oh, hey, and welcome back to Genspired, the podcast. I am your host, Jennifer Batok. Before we begin, please remember that I'm not a medical professional nor a licensed therapist. I am, however, a spiritual being having a human experience right along with you. Please trust and use your own judgment, discernment, and intuition. My intention for these episodes is that they will reach and resonate with a collective of people meant to find them. All right, let's get into it. Let's get Genspired. If you've ever worked in a corporate setting, you've probably found yourself having to either practice or continually evolve your elevator pitch. Ugh. It's so annoying. They make you summarize yourself in 30 seconds or less so that you can pitch yourself to people quickly. Universities even have pitch competitions. They're annoying, and I always, always, always hated doing them. I was asked to judge a competition once for a local university and quite literally dreaded the entire day. I felt really bad for the students. It's damn near impossible to answer the question of who are you in under 30 seconds. Like we can all conform to this pretty little 30-second mold and fast talking to catch someone's attention. Nonsense. And for any of you having to go through this right now, I empathize. But also know, while I've done my fair share of them, quite literally none of them were who I actually was or who I am. That's not a 30-second answer. It's much, much deeper than that. So let's dive into the actual question. Who are you? Truly, who are you? When you strip away your job title, your profession or occupation, your network, your circle of friends, your community, clubs, partnerships, your spouse, your kids, and all of the other external factors, who are you really at your core? Some people are lucky and have this figured out early on. There aren't that many. But some get a good grasp of this concept early and they stick to it. For me, it's taken quite a bit longer. I used to think I was what I did for a job, or the house I lived in, or the network of people I had around me. I mean, I didn't believe it hardcore, I just sort of attached my identity to things external to me. While you may absolutely, unequivocally love your job, it's not who you are. Not really. It's what you do, not who you are. Let's say you're an incredible heart surgeon. Yes, that is special and not something everyone can do. It likely makes up a big part of your identity, but take that away and what do you have? Do you have someone who is driven, hardworking, gifted, strong, empathetic, which in turn makes you an incredible heart surgeon? Or are you stressed? Or do you constantly overthink? Do you worry? Do you feel like you have to keep one-upping yourself to stay relevant? See, once we remove the thing that we do, then we can start to see who we actually are. We are, well, most of us, are either a son or a daughter, a friend, a colleague, a partner, a spouse, or even a neighbor. Those are things external to us. Yes, I'm a daughter and a sister. But aside from being those things, who am I really? If I remove the daughter and the sister labels, who am I? If I remove the entrepreneur label, who am I? If I remove the friend label, who am I? If I remove all of those external things, what makes me who I am? This is where the beautiful journey back to yourself can actually begin. Uncovering this for myself has taken, well, so far, 2.5 years. I've done a lot of work on myself and gone deep in the shadows and stepped into the light to sort of see it all. And when you strip away all of those labels, who I am is someone who longs for peace. It's the essence of me. I am someone who requires peace and someone who has started to create pathways forward that include it. I'm not driven by money or social media likes or even to be seen in a certain way. Who I am at my core is peace. I desire peace, therefore I am peace. Modern society has been teaching us, more specifically brainwashing us, to think that we have to be a certain thing, look a certain way, live a certain way, or do certain things to be accepted. That's simply not true. It's made up. All of it is. Somewhere along the way, the louder voices, more so than the quiet voices, started to mold and shape us into conforming or fitting in. And shit, I hate that sentence. Fitting in is a dangerous sentence. Never tell anyone, no matter how old they are, that they have to fit in. Fit into what? It's not real. What are they fitting into? You don't need to fit into anything except what you know to be true of yourself. Fit in with you. Fit with you. That's it. Another sentence that I find dangerous is when someone says, "Oh, I really look up to that person," or "I grew up looking up to that person." Be careful. When you look up to someone, you are putting them higher than you, when no one is higher than anyone. Don't look up to someone, look to someone. It's great and even encouraged to have mentors, but don't put them any higher than you on any scale. Don't look at their life and think that you want to be like them. They and their life is already taken. Look to them for perhaps guidance or even advice, but then go back to the only person that matters, and that's you. You can certainly look to someone, but if you can, try and do that only to confirm what you already know to be true about yourself or the situation. Your intuition and instincts are always, and I mean always, correct. You already know the answers to everything you're questioning. It's in the art of slowing down long enough and taking time to look inside is where you'll really start to hear and see it clearly. If in a blink of an eye everything was taken from you, a catastrophic event that stripped you of all your possessions, your job title, your status, your bank account, your entire external existence, who would you be in that moment and the moments to come? We are in life who we are in crisis. I never really thought that was a real thing until I realized, yes, it is. We are in life who we are in crisis because if a crisis occurs and all of the external protections and protectors and shields and labels that were on you were removed, you'd be exposed and everything would be in the open. Who are you then? Who would look back at you in the mirror? Coming face to face with aspects of self that aren't the most desirable is actually one of the most powerful things you can gift yourself. As I face mine, and still do when they come up, I realize that who I am in crisis is resourceful, independent, capable, strong, and resilient. That's who I am. Those aspects of me are me. They are who I am, crisis or not. I realize that while I am peace, I'm also strong, capable, independent, resilient, brave, and vulnerable. Knowing this and recognizing it, I now embrace it instead of keeping it in the shadows. That's who I am outside of the suits and the corporate speak and the people-pleasing and the bullying and the mask-wearing and the silent suffering and the trauma and the shame and the guilt. Knowing these aspects of self, it helps me as I move forward in life. I can use these aspects of myself to find people, partnerships, and work and fun and joy with these things at the forefront. I can embrace that within me, along with the peace. And the more we embrace our authenticity and define who we actually are, the more people, places, and things start to align naturally. It's the magic of the universe. Don't dim to fit in. Shine in truth, your truth, so others can find you. Don't try and fit in somewhere that doesn't feel good to you. There's a reason for it. If you find yourself in a room or a boardroom or a classroom or a bar or a party, and you don't feel good about being there or feel like you can be yourself, exit stage left. those aren't the vibes, and retreat back to yourself to find what vibes are. I remember sitting in many a boardroom in my 20 plus years as a corporate recruiter, looking at people around me all dressed in our navy blue, black, or gray suits, thinking, what am I doing here? I don't like this. I don't like the lip service, the bullshit small talk, the conformity, none of it. But for years, I went along with it because it's what I thought I was supposed to do. This company is paying me money to do a job, so I must conform and agree and just drink the Kool-Aid. Meanwhile, small pieces of the actual me started to disappear, just gone. I started to talk differently. I went to parties I didn't want to go to, sat in boring meeting after boring meeting, slowly letting parts of me fade into the gray wall paint and fluorescent lighting. Here's the thing, though. I'm not sitting here saying that corporate jobs are bad or that there aren't people who genuinely love the corporate world. What I'm saying is that I didn't. And when I forced myself to pretend like I did, it wasn't who I was. I started to become who they wanted me to be. On this one occasion, I had an idea that came to me that I thought was pretty creative, a little outside of the box, and lead more towards my intuitive side. I told my boss about the idea, and true to form, because that's what corporate bosses have to do, it was shut down because it didn't conform to the standards and formality of what we were trying to accomplish. I remember thinking, what the actual F? They preach to us to be authentic and inventive and be who you are and come to work as your whole self. But when we are, if it doesn't suit their narrative, it gets rejected on the spot. I never suggested anything after that. Even while I would once in a while get a little niggle of an idea, I just let the idea die. I knew I wasn't going to be able to be who I was in that kind of setting, so I shut up and put up for decades. Over the course of those decades, problems started to arise for me physically and medically. I gained weight. My sleep was all over the place. I had reoccurring acne, joint pain, muscle pain, constant and consistent headaches, stomach issues, and high blood pressure. I was also diagnosed with a condition called ankylosing spondylitis. It's an autoimmune disease that causes my immune system to attack itself on the regular. It went undiagnosed for 6 years because it took that long to figure out what the issue was. So, I started jamming pills into me, continued to eat on the run if I ate at all, spent my weekends playing catch up and doing laundry, all the while my body still screamed at me for a change. When you're in a fog of not actually knowing who you are, your body will start to shut down until you take notice. So I finally did. I stopped the noise and the nonsense and slowly crawled and came back to myself. The course of the next 2.5 years was a slow, beautiful education into who I am. And as I released the need to be something that wasn't aligned with my inside, my body also came back to itself. Just this past March, I went for my yearly AS checkup and I'm in remission. And that's not an accident. That is all because of the work I did to heal myself from the inside out. All of the shadow work, the spiritual work, the healing, the uncovering trauma, the releasing, and the working through the karma, that is what cured my physical body. My skin has improved to where I actually feel like I look 10 years younger. My body no longer aches. My headaches are almost non-existent. My sleep and my stomach are blissfully, happily coexisting in this new phase of my life. Once I uncovered me, Jennifer, at my core, without any of the external stuff, things started to shift back into alignment. And I'll tell you how I know this works. Because humans are not a perfect formula, when I find myself slipping into an old pattern or stress creeps back into my otherwise well-balanced life, the physical symptoms come back too. Perfect example is my life right now. Over the past 8 weeks, I've been working on a project involving both some people I've worked with a few times in the past and some new collaborations. So anytime anything new is introduced in your life, you do run the risk of some repeating patterns. Well, sneaky as the universe is, she threw me some patterns and characteristics in these new collaborators that triggered the same stress levels I had experienced in my corporate days. This time, not dressed in suits, but dressed in behaviors I had chosen not to be around anymore. So for the past 8 weeks, I've been stressed. My sleep schedule is a bit wonky. I've had a headache for the past 3 straight days, and my creativity is quite literally in the toilet. This, my friends, this is how quickly all of the work you do on yourself can quickly get put into a spin cycle and set you back on your ass again. Hard as I have been trying to find balance and restore the peace, I haven't been able to. And it's because I'm around people that I don't want to be around. And it's no disrespect to them. I'm not throwing shade at them whatsoever. What I am doing is identifying who I am. I am peace and therefore want peace. And that's not what I have right now. So being back in a toxic, narcissistic, fragile masculinity type of setting just isn't my jam. So I'm taking the lesson and learning that I'm allowed to say no. Even while I am building a business, I'm still allowed to say no and speak what is true to me and true to who I am. And you can too. We are allowed to be who we are without question or hesitation. And because peace is at the forefront for me, while there have been opportunities as of late to be a bit more assertive and perhaps stand my ground a bit more firmly, in doing that, I will just keep the unpeaceful narrative going. Instead, because I'm nearing the end of the project, I've chosen peace instead. And when a woman chooses peace over everything else, it's more powerful than any words she can and ever will say. I feel this for myself, strongly. By choosing not to engage or be part of the toxicity, and in choosing peace, I win. As a people pleaser from back in the day, I probably wouldn't have even typed out that last paragraph or hell, even said it out loud because of the fear I had around people not liking me or not being liked in general. What I've learned here is that if other people can walk around being who they are, vampiring their energy on the world, why can't I walk around in my own light energy being who I am? It's so interesting to me how some of the loudest people have the least amount to say. Or they say a lot of words, but quite literally say nothing while they're doing it. When the quiet, healed, introspective, reflective people are wisely quiet and attuned. This is why it's so important to listen to that niggle I told you about in episode 6. The world needs both the quiet and the loud people, both the fake and the real, both the talented and the lacking, because one can't exist without the other. In your pursuit of life, though, be sure to continually ask yourself the question at hand today. Who are you? Who am I? When I remove everything external to my life, who am I? Am I good? Am I bad? Am I happy? Am I accepted? Am I proud? Am I authentic? Am I valued? Am I real? Who the actual F am I? To help get you started, if you require a little nudge, start with a mindfulness practice. See episode 4 if you feel called to listen. And in doing that, sit with yourself and let whatever thoughts come in, come in. If they are useful to what you're trying to uncover, let them simmer. And if they're not useful, just let them go. That takes practice, as we know, because it's so hard not to sit and stew in a thought or a feeling. But remember, it's only meant to last 90 seconds and then let it bounce after that. Talk to yourself. I do it all the time. Or journal your feelings. Or dig out old photo albums. Yes, those of us old enough to have albums still have these. And look at photos of yourself from childhood, teenage years, and early adulthood. Photos do a great job of helping us get back into a place in our mind when the photo was taken. It can take us back to a feeling or state of being, and from there, you can relearn about yourself, or it helps you make your way back to yourself again. Your inner child is with you constantly, and sometimes they just need to be reintroduced. A lot of what we are searching for or seeking now is actually something we already had or knew since childhood. As I look back on my own, I realize now that the stem and the root of the peace that I require is because I loved peace as a kid. I loved being alone in peace and stillness and harmony. I still do. I love the peace I created for myself in my own little world of play and peace back then, and I find ways to bring that into my adult life too. And don't try and elevator pitch yourself. Don't pressure yourself to find out who you are and cram it into a 30-second spiel. You're worth more than 30 seconds. You are more than 30 seconds. One time when I was forced to do one of those stupid elevator pitches, my boss said to me, "Write it as if the most important CEO was in the elevator with you and you only had a few floors to tell them about yourself." You want to know what my first instinct was? It was to probably ask them if they saw the football game the night before or ask if they heard Eminem's new album. My instincts aren't to pitch myself, like at all. It feels unnatural to me. Besides, CEOs get pitched to all the time. Let me just chat this normal person up, or better yet, ride the elevator in blissful silence. My boss didn't think that was funny and told me to go back to the drawing board and take this seriously, because I never know who I might run into someday. Well, lady, that someday came, and I did what I wanted to do. I only ever use those stupid elevator pitches to entertain their lame asses and check off some stupid, ridiculous corporate box that I had done it and practiced it. When it came time to actually ride an elevator with someone who was kind of a big deal, I did exactly what naturally came to me. A long, long time ago, like 1997 maybe, I found myself waiting for an elevator alone at the former Skydome Hotel in Toronto. There was a basketball game that night, and I was going. I pushed the wrong floor number and ended up somewhere near the top of the hotel, so I was waiting to go back down and find my friends. Well, clearly, I was on the wrong floor because there were security and lots of people walking swiftly around with these little headsets on, so I knew it was definitely a reserved floor. Lo and behold, out from one of the hotel rooms comes Michael Jordan and a bunch of other people. He walked over to the elevators with his crew, and they all kind of just stood around next to me. He nodded and said, "Hey, what's going on?" And I said, "Nothing much. Clearly just rode the elevator to the top of the world." He actually laughed. And when the doors opened for us to get into the elevator, I started to walk in, but one security dude stopped me and was like, "Wait for the next one, ma'am." I stepped back and let MJ and his crew on the elevator. Before the doors closed, I deadass looked at him and said, "Have a great game tonight." And that was that. So while I didn't actually get to ride the elevator with him, I didn't feel the need to pitch to him either. I used what I've always used: my humor and my charm. And I like to think it worked. So you see, while I'm someone who is peace and harmony, but also strong, capable, proud, and resilient, I'm also funny and charming and quick-witted. I make people feel comfortable and relatable, and I always have. Now I realize that instead of trying to hide those parts of myself, I let them shine. I want that for you too. Find your way back. Figure out who you are, because once you do, it's one of the most empowering feelings you may ever experience. True freedom, in a way. Freedom to just be your damn self. Free to be who you are. It's okay to say nice things about yourself, and it's okay to take notice of these things, because that's who you are. That's who I am. That's me. The girl who made Michael Jordan laugh that one time back in 1997. As always, if you've been Genspired, please leave a comment below. I'd love to hear from you.